I want to pray, and I want to get into our series, kicking off our series today. So if you would pray with me. God, man, we have I've already had an amazing time of worship. I'm so thankful for this team that helps us enter into your presence today. I pray now as we enter into your word, man, that we would be, man, just laser focused in on it, God. I know each of us have things we've got to get to and things that are weighing heavy on our hearts, that are stressing us out, that are causing us anxiety. But God, I pray for right now, for the next 20 minutes, that we could just focus in on you. Focus in on how you want to speak into our specific situation today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, I simply want to start off by reading the scripture. We're kicking off a new series today called Some Good News. And I want to start it with the greatest news we've ever heard. So I want to share with you Luke chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to go all the way through 11. It'll be on the screens behind you. If you have your Bible app, you can pull that out. If you have your Bible with you, you can pull that out. Luke chapter 2, verse 4, and we're going all the way through 11. And here's what it says. Mary's fiancé, Joseph, from Nazareth in Galilee, had to participate in the census in the same way everyone else did. Because he was a descendant of King David, his ancestral city was Bethlehem, David's birthplace. Mary, who was now late in her pregnancy that the messenger Gabriel had predicted, accompanied Joseph. While in Bethlehem, she went into labor and gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the baby in a blanket, laid him in a feeding trough because the inn had no room for them. Now nearby, in the fields outside of Bethlehem, a group of shepherds were guarding their flocks from predators in the darkness of night. Suddenly, a messenger of the Lord stood in front of them, and the darkness was replaced by a glorious light, the shining light of God's glory. And they were terrified. And the messenger said this, "Don't be afraid. Listen, you ready for it? I bring good news. This is news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. Today in the city of David, a liberator has been born for you. He is the promised anointed one, the supreme authority, and his name is Jesus." That's some good news right there, right? It was good news then, and it's good news today. And it's the greatest news. And it's news that you and I have got to focus on. And you know, these shepherds, they heard this good news. You know what they did, man? They went toward it and they celebrated it. Now, this series, of course, comes from the good news of Jesus, but it was kind of also birthed and inspired by John Krasinski's little show. You guys remember that in earlier this year, Some Good News, and I loved it. He, you know, John Krasinski's great, and you know, we all love him from The Office and other things, but he came in, and I think what he realized, and kind of what we all realize, is that we were all being overloaded with some bad news, right? It was bad news. There was no good news anywhere. And so John came in and he wanted to shed some light and bring some good news and bring joy and bring hope and show people that, yes, there is bad news going on, but that doesn't mean that there's not also good news taking place. And I think in our lives, and I think this year more than most, and it's not just this year alone, but the media tends to focus solely on the bad. And promoting the bad, and look at all that. There's like this negative narrative that they focus on over the positive and the good, and there's almost this like fear mongering going on, right? And so we do this in our lives where we focus more on the bad and the negative. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to focus on the bad and on the negative and get us down and weigh us down. The enemy will always try to overshadow the good news with bad news. That's his MO. He doesn't want you happy. He doesn't want you joyful. He doesn't want you hopeful. Now we go back to the Jesus being born narrative. If you know this story, you know Jesus was born and the wise men came and they came to Herod and they told Herod, "Hey, the king has been born. We saw this star, the king of the Jews, and we want to find him." And Herod said, "Yeah, go find him and let him know I want to praise him too and come back and tell me." And you know, King Herod just wanted to kill him. He felt threatened by a baby for good reason, because he was the king of all kings, right? And so the good news is that Jesus is born. But the enemy comes in with some bad news, where Herod wants to kill Jesus. Of course, you know, God had other plans at the time, and a messenger came to Mary and Joseph, and they fled to Egypt. And you know what? You know what the king did, King Herod did? He went and he killed any children that were under the age of the time that Jesus was born. And it's bad news, right? Doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus is still born. The Messiah has come, but the enemy wants to put it up there and blast it and say, focus on the bad. I don't need you focusing on the good. I don't need you focusing on what God is trying to do in your life. And so that's what the enemy does. He's constantly shoving bad news in our face. Can I just say this to you? If the enemy keeps shoving bad news in your face, keep shoving the good news in his. The good news of the gospel. Because here's the reality. He can't stand up to it. Right? He can't. I mean, you go back to Jesus in the wilderness, in the temptation, every single time. The enemy said, hey, do this. And what did Jesus do? He brought the good news. He said, uh-uh. This is what the good news says. The good news of our Savior, listen to me, trumps the bad news of our enemy. I think you need to believe that in your life. The good news of our Savior, the good news of his birth and his resurrection trumps the bad news of the enemy, the bad news that is going around, the bad news that you're receiving in your life. And in order for us to be able to allow it to trump it, we got to make sure that when the bad news comes, we are combating the bad news with the good news. Let me share a few examples. They'll be up on the screen. So some bad news comes in. You lose a relationship. And it could be any relationship. So there's a loss of relationship in your life. The good news comes from Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's the good news. Maybe the bad news comes in that you fall into sin in your life. You were trying to push up against it, but sin comes, you fall victim to it. Well, the good news is found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the bad news doesn't have to overweigh it because the good news is right there. You get some bad news because your kids are acting up. Maybe they're being disrespectful. Maybe they're being disobedient. Maybe they're going the wrong way. But the good news is this, is that Proverbs 22:6 says that if you teach a youth, if you teach your child about the way that he or she should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the good news. And we keep the good news at the forefront. Some bad news. There's a death of a loved one. Well, the good news comes in 2 Corinthians 5:5. When this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself. It's not the end, because we have the good news. Some bad news. There's injustice, racism, trafficking. The good news, Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves justice, and he will not abandon his faithful ones. They are kept safe forever, but the children of the wicked will be destroyed. Some good news. Maybe you get some bad news. It's a loss of a job, or maybe purpose or belonging. The good news is in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I mean, and that's only, what, 6 examples. And the good word, the good news, the Bible is full of good news for whatever bad news that is going on in your life. We just got to make sure that we are coming at the bad news with the good news, that we are combating the bad news with the good news. So my question for you today in your life, maybe it's this year, maybe it's another year, maybe it's been, you know, just this long-term battle. I wonder today, what network do you subscribe to? Is it the SGN or the SBN? Is it the good news or is it just the bad news? What are you subscribed more to? What are you listening more to? Because the reality is this, whatever one you subscribe to is going to affect your everyday life. It's going to affect your relationships, how you treat others, how you talk to others, how you react to people in the workplace, how you parent, how you manage your finances, how you respond to someone with different views than you. What network are you subscribed to? Again, the enemy wants to drown our hearts and minds with the bad news. He wants to keep that that steady flow of bad news going, all in an effort and a hope to keep you from going to the good news that is always available to you. Again, the good news will always triumph over evil. But you and I have to stay subscribed to it. Let me say it again. The good news will always triumph over evil, but you've got to stay subscribed to that. And you say, well, how do I subscribe to the good news? I'll tell you about that in a minute. There was this verse that I came across, and I loved it, and I love finding verses like this. And it's simply this. It's Proverbs 15:30. You ready for this? Good news puts fat on your bones. Okay? Good news puts fat on your bones. And I think we think, well, you know, fat is a negative thing. But in the reality, if we're talking about it from a spiritual perspective, I'm talking about being spiritually fat, y'all. Getting really plumped up with that good news so that we have good news to share, even when the bad news is trying to tear us down, right? Because even if we're plumped up with the fatness that covers our bones, right, that when the bad news comes and it takes a chunk, it don't matter. Because we got more good news to share with everybody. It's just a small little portion, so some good news, it puts fat on the bones. Tell someone next to you, the good news will make you spiritually fat. Tell them. And say, give me some of your fat. Give me some of your spiritual fatness. I mean, this is the reality. Let's look. If we are constantly subscribed to the good news, that steady feed of God's word and worship and church and community, I mean, we're gonna get plumped up with the good news. And with that comes joy, and with that comes peace, and with that comes hope, and with that, man, just comes this life that isn't shaken when bad news comes around. So what do I mean by being spiritually fat? It's just that. We hold on to the good news of Jesus, no matter the bad news that we receive. And in that, we remain hopeful. How do you remain spiritually fat? It's by reading God's word daily, writing it on your heart and on your mind. It's by taking time to be in prayer with God and crying out to God and sharing the bad news with God, but then at the tail end saying, God, no matter the bad news that I'm sharing with you, I know the good news is that your son died for me, and in him I am victorious. So we hold on to the good news. We keep it at the forefront, right? We share the tweets. We follow the stories. We're subscribed to its blog, we're attending its events, and then after that, guess what we're supposed to do with it? We're called to share the good news with all those we come in contact with, because the good news is what's gonna help us not get down when the bad news takes place in our lives. Stay subscribed to the good news. Here's what I wanna tell you, man. Even though you may be surrounded by good news, it could be going all around you. Maybe it's a world thing, maybe it's locally, maybe it's just in your home or at the workplace. You may be surrounded by good news, but that does not mean that you have to subscribe to its narrative. Stay with the narrative of the good news of who Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news of salvation which I preached to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and on which you stand by faith. By this faith, you were saved. You were reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. So it says, by this faith, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word which I preach to you. If you hold on to that good news, by faith you are saved, unless, and this part comes in and kind of just does a gut punch, unless you believed in vain. It was just superficial. It was without complete commitment to the good news. So you say, yeah, oh, I'm all about this. I'm all about God. I'm all about his word. I'm all about worshiping him. I'm all about serving at church. I'm all about going to church. But then some bad news comes in and you allow that to shake you because you weren't fully committed in the first place. Because when the good news comes and you have a hold of that, and Jesus changed and transformed your life, nothing in this world can take away what he did for you. Because he offers you something so much greater than anything this world has to offer. He offers you an eternity in heaven with him. There is a life that awaits you because of who Jesus is that is so much better than any good news this earth has to offer us. And so we stay subscribed to that. So my question, coming back off of 1 Corinthians, is this. Are you committed to the good news even if some bad news shows up? Because the enemy will come at you. Right? And he knows your weak spots. He knows what sin you're more susceptible to. He knows exactly what bad news to share with you. He knows exactly how to shake you. Are you committed to the good news, even when the bad news shows up? Because if you are committed to it, no matter what takes place in your life, no matter the news that's going on, no matter if it's a loss of relationship, a loss of a loved one, if it's a loss of a job, you can remain steadfast in a God that says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Yes, there are troubled times, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Don't let it shake your faith. Will you stay subscribed and hopeful, even though the enemy will constantly try to tear you down and steal your hope and your joy? Now, here's the beauty of the good news. The beauty of the good news is that it spares no one. You go back to Luke 2, when I read it, it says, I bring good news, news of great joy, news that will affect all people everywhere. And then you get to John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever, right? All inclusive. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The good news is for all of us. No matter if we're surrounded by bad news or maybe we're even the one causing the bad news. It's for all of us. And it's something that we all need to subscribe to. But and here's the tricky part. You ready? Subscribing to the good news doesn't necessarily mean that you will always just have good times. And I think some of us falsely assume that by living this life, by subscribing to the good news, that everything's going to be great and everything's going to be grand and everything's going to be wonderful. No, that's not the case. We are going to have difficult times. We are going to struggle. There is going to be bad news in our lives because guess what? We live in a fallen, broken, sinful world. But what we can lean on is the fact that God sent his son Jesus to this earth to overcome both sin and death, and with it, any bad news that we have to face on this earth. And that's the reality. See, Jesus, he was the good news incarnate, right? He was God in human form. He was God on earth. But let me just tell you this. The good news of the good news is not just about what happens on earth. It's about what happens after we leave it. That's the good news. That's the hope we hold on to. That this is not our home. This is just a temporary place where we are supposed to be out there sharing the good news and bringing glory to God no matter the bad news that shows up in our life. This is not our home. The good news is about what happens when we leave it. And you can read in the scripture about how there's a future heaven and a future earth, a new heaven and a new earth. When the old earth and its bad news passes away, we will be raised up again to new life. I want to read to you Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. It says this, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I give water from the fountain of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes the world, He who overcomes the bad news by adhering faithfully to the good news, to Christ as Lord and Savior, will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. He makes all things new. There will be bad times. There will be bad news. But this is the good news. And the Bible is full of it. Again, the good news won't always mean good times. But the good news, hoped in, believed, and lived out, listen to me, it has, and it will always end in victory. Because that is the good news, right? That Jesus is victorious, and we are a people who live for and stay focused on him no matter what's going on here in our lives. There's victory. And maybe you and I won't experience the victory here on earth, but we are guaranteed it in heaven. And that is the hope that we hold on to. So I'd say to you today, let's stay subscribed to that good news. Let's commit to it no matter the bad news that comes our way. I want to pray for y'all. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And here's the first thing that I want to say, and I want to start with this, because maybe you're here today, and the bad news, it just won't leave you alone. It has surrounded your life. It has completely engulfed every relationship, everything you try to do, everything you set your mind to. The bad just keeps showing up, and the enemy is relentless. And here's what I'll say to you today. If that is you, can I just say that the enemy usually comes at those he's most afraid of? Right? So if God gets a hold of you and you subscribe to the good news, the enemy's afraid of what you might do. So find hope in that. And what I'll say is today, maybe you've tried all these other things, all these other routes in which you could, break free from the bad news, but there is only one good news, and that is found in Jesus and making him the Savior of your life. And so maybe for today to you, it's just simply that, making this commitment from today that no matter the bad news that comes, I am committing, I am subscribing my life to the good news that is found in Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. I know that through him, that my sin is forgiven and that I am given eternal life. And in that, I find good news. Man, if we begin, If we believe that in our hearts, and we confess that with our mouth, and we go out and we live out the good news in our life, the Bible says that we have so much that awaits us, so much that God has planned for us. So my prayer for you today is that you would stop listening to the enemy's bad news narrative, and you would begin living out that joyful narrative that is found in the good news of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking today. But most importantly, God, thank you for the good news, the hope and the joy and the peace and the salvation that you sent to us all those years ago in the form of your son, Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.